Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hope you guys are having a good start to your Friday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley. He's in for Cody today. Cody back on Monday. Coming up in about 17 minutes, we'll get to the trash of the day. But don't forget, you can join all of us. Bink will be anchoring our coverage from draft night, Thursday, April 24th at the Landing in Liberty. It's our 96.5 The Fan draft party. Yourself, Christian Ocero, whole Character Concerns crew going to be broadcasting up at the Landing. We've had a lot of fun doing this the last couple of years. $965 this year is up for grabs. That's right. You got to be $965 up for grabs if you can correctly pick the draft. More details on the scoring and everything you can find up on our website as well. And as we get closer, but last year, you know, if you pick a player and you get the right team, that's more points. And also the winner gets an autographed Juwan Taylor helmet. So if you've gone any of these before, you got to get there early though, man. Those tables fill up early. The coverage starts at 6 o'clock. I hope to see you guys there in a couple of weeks. And since Bink is in, I want to talk some more draft, in particular, how one decision could change the top of the draft. So there's a report now that Kirk Cousins prefers to be cut by the Falcons because the Browns are unwilling to take on the contract that a trade would require. And of course, Atlanta is open to dealing him, but the deal is pricey, not only in compensation, but the salary. Right now, he's the backup. And that's the way it will be in week one behind Michael Penix. He'll be making all this money. Kirk Cousins wants to start. Raheem Morris even said, like, we know he's not going to show up to the voluntary stuff. It's a weird, awkward situation right now in Atlanta. I don't think come week one he'll be on the Falcons. I don't know how that goes, though, because now both sides are playing hardball. Like, no, we don't want him unless you cut him. Well, we don't want to cut him. Something's got to give here, I think.
It was dumb they gave him the money they did, considering sure. He had one playoff win in his history.
Well, he wasn't healthy. Dumb. Right, he wasn't healthy. That's part of the problem. So
coming off that Achilles, yeah.
I bring this up. We can talk if you think he ends up in Cleveland or you think he ends up in Tennessee, Kirk Cousins. But what does that do for the top of the draft? Because yesterday we mentioned Adam Schefter said that he believes it's more and more likely that we don't see Sanders go in the top two, so we don't have two quarterbacks go that early.
He says pro day today. We'll see how he throws.
Yeah,
if he throws.
I saw the pro days going on. I saw Travis Hunter's running routes, which was surprising, I guess, for some people as well. But when you look at Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, who could likely or will be there, I should say, for the Browns or could be there, who do you actually think has the better career? Who would you draft in that spot? If you're Cleveland and let's say you do go and you acquire Kirk Cousins, so you have Kirk Cousins for this year, you got Myles Garrett back. Do you just load up on the defense with Abdul Carter? Or do you say, hey, let's go Travis Hunter. Let's go with the guy that has the much higher ceiling, probably. I think that's fair to say. Now, there's more risk with Travis Hunter, but because of the versatility on both sides of the ball.
I think there's a lot of reasons why you'd want to go Travis Hunter. And I know a lot of people are high on Abdul Carter. He had that stretch factor in his foot. People are kind of unsure what he could do. He did play 16 games last year, had the 12 sacks. I know people are thinking Micah Parsons with Abdul Carter. He plays on the right side of the defensive line. Myles Garrett the left. So clearly that tandem, you think about, wow, that's pretty nasty having Abdul Carter coming from one side, Myles Garrett the other. That's true. But who's going to catch the ball? And if Travis Hunter is drafted and he wants to play both ways, again, he had over 150 more snaps than anybody in college football last year because he played both sides of the ball. I mean, it was tremendous what he did. He loves the game of football. He loves the sport, and he's a tremendous football player. And the one thing, too, is just the big picture of everything, the marketing and everything else is a lot more having a Travis Hunter, I'm sorry, than an Abdul Carter. It just is. Heisman Trophy winner, won the Biletnikoff on offense, was the defensive player of the year. When he won the Bednarik Award as well. He won so many awards last year, the Walter Camp, the Heisman, you name it. That's a marketing genius for there. But he can play both ways and be instrumental in a return game as well. I think when it's all said and done, when you think about their history and their career, it'll be Travis Hunter. And it'll be more than Abdul Carter. Yeah, Abdul Carter may have a decent career. He did have 12 sacks last year, was his career high at Penn State. That's great. The stress factor in the foot. He didn't compete at the combine, didn't compete at the pro day. Yes, it's this generational talent. So many people think I'm playing on the edge. But Travis Hunter's just different, man. This guy
is
different.
I think it's riskier, though, with him. I think the ceiling, maybe even Instagram this.
But he'll figure out what position he plays. He's not going to play both forever.
I agree. I think immediately Abdul Carter could have just instant success in Cleveland.
He could, because there's going to be a lot of attention paid to Myles Garrett, clearly. So both of them are going to benefit from each other.
Do you think the ceiling's higher for Abdul Carter?
They need to score points. Like, their offense is so putrid in what they do. Yes, having Myles, but they paid Myles Garrett all that money, so why have Abdul Carter as well? Travis Hunter's the type of guy.
Well, in this scenario, maybe they would have Kirk Cousins.
But if Travis Hunter was, say, starts on defense, he starts a corner.
How much wide receiver is he playing?
He would still play some 15, 20, 25 snaps at wide receiver. He could still make a difference.
He can make a
better difference for that team than Abdul Carter can.
He should be a wide receiver first and then do some nickel packages or whatever the case is that the Browns want to do.
That's the opposite of what everybody says.
I think teams are going to pass on this guy and they're going to regret it. I think 31 other teams are regretting not getting Lamar Jackson. He was drafted at 32, the first pick of pick of the first round. And you look at Jalen Carter, that everybody's calling the next Aaron Donald, Chris Jones for Philadelphia, pick 9th. He was supposed to be the first pick in the draft, but character concerns, and he started the slide. And I remember saying 8 teams are regret not taking Jalen Carter because other teams could have taken him. Howie Roseman was like, okay, we'll take him in Philadelphia. This guy was going to be the number one pick in the draft. He slides all the way to us. I think there will be regret if someone doesn't take Travis Hunter.
Yeah, but I think they should take him as a wide receiver and not as a corner. The reason why is because, to me, he has a better career trajectory. He has a higher ceiling as a wide receiver then as a corner. Forget the money thing. Obviously, the money is you want to go wide receiver as well. But I think Travis Hunter is a playmaker. That's what he is. He is aggressive. He makes a ton of plays. It fits his style of play better on wide receiver than a corner, because we saw at times he would get beat bad because he would overplay to try to get a pick, double move. He'd get burned by guys not even at the power five level.
I will say this, though, that secondary in Colorado shut down McMillan, the best wide receiver in the draft last year.
I understand. They had
and not only
else.
That, but the forced fumble. He did a Legarius Sneed type play at Colorado where he forced a fumble for UCF and they won. He makes interceptions. He got exponentially better at wide receiver, in my opinion, with the separation in his hands. He was a better defensive back at Jackson State when he was there before he went to Colorado, but he played better corner this year than he did the previous year at Colorado. Generational talent. You want to play wide receiver? Tell him, hey, we need you a wide receiver this year. This is where you need to be.
They should.
So I'm with you, both of you, that, and we went back, go back months, and I think wide receiver will be his best opportunity, to have success.
But
I don't think teams are going to give him the opportunity to thrive at wide receiver. Based on everything you hear so far, they think he's a corner and we'll work him in on offense. I'm with Drew where it's like it should be the flip of that.
Yeah,
I
don't know if teams will do that. And if we're saying that the intrigue of him, like if he was just a corner, I don't think you'd be saying he should be the number 2 overall pick in the draft, right? You would not be saying that. The reason why he's number 2 for you, which is where Cleveland's at, is because he can do both. My issue is how often is he going to do both?
He did win the Bednarik Award as the best defensive player in the country.
And people think that was not necessarily...
Like, he was not the best defensive player in the country.
Back on that,
he just wasn't.
I'm just saying, if teams are willing to utilize his full skill set,
defensive player of the year, you name it.
If they'll utilize his full skill set, and allow him to play more offense, and I don't know how sustainable that is, then I'm fine with him going number two overall. I would not draft him number two overall if I'm going to play 90% of his snaps on defense. That's all I'm saying.
I do think you're right, though, Bink, in the fact that he is a football junkie, that any team should want him because he loves football. He's all about it. Anything that he can do to improve his game, you know that he's got all of that stuff, you know you're getting.
And he's a marketing home run for the Browns if they do select him.
I just think that you can market him better if he's a wide receiver than if he is a corner.
Yeah, we'll see primarily. Ultimately what happens in less than 3 weeks. I do think this Kirk Cousins thing could play. Well, now the Cousins thing's not going to get resolved before draft day, I don't think, which of course, has here's the dollar amount, $180 million contract on a trade is what the Browns would have to facilitate to make it happen with the Falcons, which is why the Browns are basically like, well, we'll just wait to see if you cut them. And the Falcons like, well, we'll just hold on to them. So yeah. What's going to happen there? Because if you don't have Kirk Cousins, then even more reason, in my opinion, to draft Abdul Carter. Because you have Kenny Pickett as a starting quarterback and big deal. Like I understand Travis Hunter's a long-term play, but I don't know, man. Like we can take a look. I can pull up the latest odds on FanDuel to go number one, number two, number three overall and tell you where some of the books believe the order is going to go. Typically, we'd say, oh, quarterback one, quarterback two. There's more speculation that Shador Sanders is not going to go.
Well, think about this. Amari Cooper, of course, left. Yeah. And he goes on to the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, yeah, and there's Jerry
literally
Judy, right?
It is an abyss at wide receiver.
Tillman, I think.
It's Jerry,
right?
Judy and Cedric Tillman.
Yeah, so here's the odds. To be the number one overall pick, Cam Ward's the heavy, heavy, heavy favorite, minus 2,000. He's going number one overall. Abdul Carter's minus 240 to go number two overall. Travis Hunter's plus 250. Remember, right now, the Browns occupy that pick, but there could always be a trade. Shador Sanders is plus 800. Third overall pick, Travis Hunter, minus 180. Shador, plus 280. Abdul Carter, plus 340. And then to be the fifth pick, Mason Graham, Membu out of Missouri. Those two have the best odds to go number five overall. And this is no matter what team drafts him, right? They're talking about just the slot of the pick. There could be trades that make this happen.
Yeah, Travis Hunter, to me, it's one of those things. He's going to do what the team wants him to do. If they go there, he goes to Cleveland and say, listen, man, we want you to concentrate on wide receiver. Like, he'll do that. He likes the sport of football enough. He's going to listen to the coaches. Always had, yeah. Has been that type of guy because he loves the sport of football. If he was a starter on defense and they were at least guaranteed him 25 to 30 snaps on offense, something he might do. I mean, this dude is so electric when he has the hands on his ball. He could help the Cleveland Browns more than Abdul Carter could. And not only that, with the kickoff going to touchback to 35, more and more chances. Maybe he goes on some kickoff teams at times and returns the ball. He could do so many things.
Should the Giants take him if he's available at three? Because their quarterback situation seems to be figured out. You put him with Malik Nabers.
Yes.
That's kind of nice.
They still should, but most people don't think they're going to.
There's talk about the Giants trying to even get up and get Shador. But, yes, the Giants take Travis Hunter.
The Giants don't have to jump anywhere to get Shador, I don't think. I think they can stay at three and still get him.
Yeah, so that's what I'm talking about is I think the Giants should take Shador at three. I don't believe that's going to happen.
That quarterback room, Shador, Jameis, Russell Wilson.
It'd be a weird room, but anyway. We'll get into the draft.
I just think if we have this conversation again in 4 years or 5 years, yeah, we'll look back and say, man, they had a chance to get Travis Hunter. They went Abdul Carter. Like, I think eventually you'll have this discussion. Like text line, like when people wanted Deshaun Watson instead of Patrick Mahomes because he won a national title in college and Patrick lost a lot of games at Texas Tech. Everybody wanted Deshaun Watson. Don't pretend like you wanted Mahomes because you didn't.
Hey, what does Travis Hunter do well?
I mean, this dude is so electric when he has the hands on his ball. Oh, boy. Now, I said ball. I didn't say balls.
Drew, cut it.
You tried, Drew. I said ball. If I said balls, it's much different.
I looked at each other, and I was hard not to laugh.
There's another one. Jeez. That's what she said. You just did it yourself.
All right, we'll get. My goodness, we'll get to the trash of the day.
I know
he did. I know. I know.
Anyways,
I did hear that as well. You got to cut your own drop. We'll get to the trash of the day in about 5 minutes or so. Are you guys excited for the Final Four tomorrow? So the Final Four starts in San Antonio. Drew and I are on the same page. I haven't talked to you about this yet, Bink. On Monday's show, we kind of hit on it a little bit, and now we're just a day out. I love the fact that it's all chalk. I love that we have four number one seeds for the first time since 2008. I don't think this is going to now happen every year just because of NIL, but I would rather have Duke Houston, number one offense, number two defense matching up than Duke against FAU or somebody like that. And look, I'm not saying it's going to come down to a buzzer beating shot. I don't know. Duke might end up controlling the game for the most part and end up winning comfortably. But that matchup heading in is way more exciting to talk about than a 12 seed team. On the other side, Florida Auburn. I mean, two of the best teams all year in the best conference in America this year, the SEC. So I'm excited. Normally, the Final Four, I'll be honest, it gets to this point, and one of the games has a double-digit seed or an 8 seed, and like, okay, well, that game's not going to be entertaining. I truly don't know what's going to happen in either of these games. I think I know, right? Like, if we want to bet on it, but like, I truly could see, and you can make a case for any of the four number one seeds to win the title. I can do it for every single one of them. That's what's fun about it tomorrow in San Antonio.
I think the whole thing is intriguing. And when you think back to the college football playoffs, no offense, Alex, but once you get kind of Boise out of the way,
yeah. You
get the cream of the crop playing for the national title and going through the postseason. The best of the best is what we're going to see in the Final Four. I like it. Get used to it this way it's going to be, because mid-majors, as we talked about last week, if you go and score 20 points a game at Iona, you're going to end up at UNC next year. That's just the way things are going to happen. You're not going to have guys for 3 and 4 years, you know, like a South Dakota State would have or something like that. You're not going to have it. But this is the new wave, and I think this is an incredibly intriguing Final Four. And there's a great storyline, too, with Houston playing Duke. Because Schreier, when he was first became head coach of Duke, he flew his team, nobody knew about it, for a secret scrimmage against Houston and Kelvin Sampson, because he liked Kelvin Sampson. So here was the secret scrimmage these teams had. Then they meet up in the Final Four eventually. It's a great storyline, but the best of the best is playing. Yeah. And I think this actually makes a really nice Final Four.
Well, and Kelvin Sampson was very complimentary of John Shire in his time, because I think he said, you know, you don't hear about Coach K anymore. All you hear about is John Shire. Like, and that's no diss against
Coach
K.
Unless he
loses. It's the fact that when you replace...
then you'll hear Coach K.
When you replace the man, like what John Shire's done since replacing Coach K has been, it's not been disappointment. Not to say that, you know, Hubert Davis has done a great job, but people, you know, you might hear Roy Williams every now and then. If they win the title, Coach K to John Shire have been a perfect transition in terms of a guy that, you know, of course, is a part of the program for the longest time. And is carry on that tradition of great basketball.
No, it is. That's a good point. It's impressive that they haven't missed a beat. It helps when you have Cooper Flagg in your program, who is the best pro prospect.
Who owes the mentalist picking? Because dude's been nailed.
They need to move.
No, seriously, I'm going to bet on it. So who's owes picking?
I don't know, but I hope they don't. They need to stop utilizing him. Just in general.
Why would you stop using Owen Jamendalis? Because he's sitting on there on the pregame and goes, Houston and Auburn are going to be winning before the games are even played.
I know. I enjoy his work.
I think it's good.
It's just they.
But he's always right.
I know, but isn't that what their job is, to always be right in a way? So you could use whether it's
Have you ever gone to YouTube and watched him when he went to the Bengals practice? He had fun with the Bengals. He's been to the Chiefs. He's been everywhere.
Some people, they get overutilized. It just becomes saturated with O's.
But O's was right. And then real quickly goes, Houston Auburn going to win today. And they did.
I know, but you can get oversaturated.
You're talking about O's Pearlman, right? Or whatever his name is.
O's the Mentalist. Yes, he picked the Elite Eight games. Every single one of them absolutely perfect. They were signed and sealed with the crew.
Yeah.
We had our bracket challenge we did with our listeners. So now that we're down to the four, how do you guys think Saturday goes? And who are we talking about in the national title game Monday? I would love for it to be Duke. I mean, I would love for it to be Houston, but I think it's going to be Duke, and I think we're going to get Duke, Florida.
You know, I'm kind of with you there, because I do think the one SEC, because the SEC is not represented. Well,
unfortunately,
they're going to be,
because
it's Florida and Auburn playing each other.
Correct.
But if they don't win it, people are going to look, 14 teams from the SEC were in it. They've got to have the champion. So, yes, there's a lot of pressure on Florida or Auburn. I think it's going to be Duke in Florida, like yourself. I think Duke wins it all.
Here we are again, disrespecting Houston, I feel like. This has been their story all year. Nobody gives them a shot.
Really difficult to actually make a pick, because I think that Houston can do a really good job against Cooper Flagg, but the problem is I think Duke just has too much between Knippel and Proctor and the guys that they have who come in and help to get the job done. I'm leaning Duke and Florida as well. I do think whoever wins the Duke and Houston game, whether it's Duke or Houston, whoever wins is going to win the national title. I think that's just how it's going to pan
out.
In
Auburn, Florida, because of Jahni Broome, and we still don't know if he's 100%.
He said he's good to go.
Yeah, but he's still holding that
arm. He says he's good to go.
Though he hit a three-pointer, he's still holding his arm. Yes, he's going to be good to go, but that's got to start.
I'm excited to see how Clayton does for Florida, because that dude has hit big shot after big shot for the Gators.
Florida, 2.5-point favorites against Auburn. It's the early game tomorrow at 5:09, and then the late game from San Antonio. Houston, 5.5-point dog against Duke. If you're wondering, updated odds just to win the title.
I think that game's going to be a classic.
Hopefully. contrasting styles for sure. Duke minus 115 to win it all. Florida 3-1. Houston plus 430. Auburn, the 5.5 odds to win the national.
So Auburn has the least amount of odds, even though they're the number one overall seed.
Number one overall.
That's right. That's right. All right, let's get to it.
Trash of the day.
All right, this one takes us to a suburb of Houston. I believe it's Friendswood, Texas. It's just outside of the Houston area. ABC 13 has the story on this one about a car thief.
You didn't get my face. It's stolen.
That's that cocky car theft suspect we were just telling you about, taunting a neighbor after apparently crashing that stolen Charger into the ditch in the Friendswood area. It's the kind of video that's infuriating. Taunts, arrogance, even a racial slur, as ABC 13's Jessica Willey explains. So far, he's gotten away with it.
Yeah, y'all were up here earlier doing all that.
A harmless question from neighbor Brad Reynolds that elicited an arrogant response.
Too bad you didn't get my face. It's stolen.
A few hours after, this couple reported their 2024 Dodge Charger stolen.
It's not where it is, and I look around, and I think something must happen.
The couple, who asked to remain anonymous because they work in law enforcement, shared doorbell video. Around 3:45 Sunday morning, it shows the thief first rummaging around inside the car that was parked on the street. He somehow turns it on and takes off. 2 hours later, he's in the parking lot across the street from Reynolds.
I heard the squealing. And I was like, what is that?
Who captures this video as the thief drives away into his Friendswood area neighborhood. At 7, the Charger is nose down in the ditch, and Reynolds approaches to investigate.
Too bad you didn't get my face. It's stolen. It's a stolen vehicle.
No doubt there is a lot of pavement in his video, but Reynolds...
I did get his face. That's quite a blooper there. I did get his face.
Gets the last laugh.
I'll stop it there. So...
Outstanding.
I mean, you can see why we picked it. I mean, the annoying laugh throughout this. There's a reason why the ABC affiliate in Houston purposely kept playing. This idiot steals the Charger. Bystanders there, gets video of him. The guy thinks that he doesn't have video of his face. They have a clear photo of this guy.
I'm excited to play this when Cody gets back randomly. I'm just going to play it randomly. He's going to be, what the heck is that?
It's stolen.
It's stolen.
Jeez. There you go. Bink.
Stealing cars is actually pretty easy nowadays.
Oh, yeah? Is that right? You speak from experience?
No, I just know what they could do because of
sitting in Cody's share all of a sudden. You know, breaking into cars is just really easy.
No, it is, actually.
Something about that share over there.
It's because a lot of the cars now, not using keys that actually use the key fobs, they send a signal.
Program or code.
Somebody can actually be sitting in a different car when you lock the car with that and get the signal. That's how they're doing it. Not only that, that's why people are buying those bags and stuff to put your keys in your house, because even through someone's house or apartment, someone can steal the signal from your keypad. This has been a big problem, like on the East Coast, like in DC and stuff. And especially, like, if you're in a parking lot, hit the lock button instead of pushing your keyless entry when you leave, because you can't steal that, but you can steal the signal from the lock on your keypad as you're walking out, and you hit that, and someone's sitting out in their car. But if you hit it in your car, you're not going to steal the signal. No, ha.
So somebody had an interesting comp on the text line. It sounded like this.
I don't even know where you're sitting at. Yes.
Kind of like Kawhi.
Oh, I mean, goodness.
That is the trash
vehicle
of the day.
Come on now.
Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Where could the Chiefs be playing in the future? No, I'm not talking about what stadium locally, and we're not having a stadium discussion, but perhaps internationally. And you had an interesting take on the tush push. Why is it actually a bad thing for the Chiefs if it gets banned? Bink will tell us next.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season, because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks, and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Alex Gould, Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley with you talking some Chiefs football for the next 30 minutes or so. Reminder, today's a Friday, so Fan Club Friday is coming your way at 1 o'clock. Special guest, first-time guest in studio. We've had him on the show before. Haven't had him on for a fan club. Jackson Kurtz, anchor reporter for Channel 9 here in town. Big Lakers fan. Big NBA guy. We're going to talk some basketball. Oh, you said,
Lakers fan,
got beef already?
No, it's just,
Jackson?
It's the Lakers fan. If he's from L.A., great. If you're from Kansas City.
He went to KU?
Oh, of course he did.
I mean, what is that supposed to mean? What do you mean, of course he did?
It's almost like the Duke thing, you know? He's one thing shy away from cheering for the Yankees.
Jackson hasn't even stepped foot in the studio, and we already are trying to start trouble. The first thing I'm going to bring up now, when he walks in at 1 o'clock, is going to be, we'll start right there. What you guys, work it out.
We can agree on one of the best basketball players of all time is Kobe Bryant. Obviously, he was my guy growing up. That's about all we got with the Lakers. You know, the Lakers are a great franchise, but Lakers and a KU grad, see, Yankees fan
too. Now, someone says, in fairness, you're a Cincinnati fan. You're not from Cincinnati.
Okay, but I'm not picking a team that has 30 championships.
What was your first year liking them, 2022, when they were in the Super Bowl?
Who? Oh, the Bengals.
Don't start this.
There are a
don't
lot of
start this. We'll never get the Chiefs talking this half hour.
I'm
don't
sure
start
there's a
this.
Lot of people who are like the Chiefs, though. As soon as the Chiefs started winning, I'm sure there's some people who finally started coming around.
Yeah. Drew, you're a closet Chiefs fan.
I believe. I can't remember. We'll have to ask Jackson. It's either that he's been a Lakers fan forever or he's always just been a LeBron fan, and I can't remember. And we'll talk to Jackson about that.
Is he the guy that shows up to the Lakers games in a Heat LeBron 6 jersey like those people do? Because that sounds like if he's a LeBron fan.
This is how we're treating our guest that's not even here. How rude.
Drew's a fan of every college football program. Mm-hmm. Huge Ohio State guy now.
All right. Let's talk some Chiefs. I don't want to talk stadium, I promise, but it does surround where they're playing in the future. And earlier this week, we got to the portion of the story from The Athletic and Nate Taylor and Daniel Popper about the Christmas Day games and all that. We don't have to go back down that road. But in that same story, something we didn't get to was he says that the Chiefs are favored to play the Chargers in Brazil this year. The Chargers, for those that don't know, are playing the first Friday of the NFL season. Like last year, remember when it was Packers-Eagles in Sao Paulo?
Netflix game, wasn't it? I think it was only on Netflix.
I don't recall on that, but it was a streaming game,
I do believe.
Okay.
It wasn't available.
I think you're right. I don't remember what platform, but it was a Friday in Brazil. This year, the Chargers are opening up their season on a Friday in Brazil. And we went through it, and Nate Taylor's obviously got sources on it and everything. It sounds like the Chiefs are favored to play the Chargers in Brazil. That would surprise me. Like, it looks like I'm going to be wrong on this, but like, I have looked back at the international slate. Typically, they're not divisional games. But maybe it doesn't matter anymore because it's the Chiefs, and they're going to put the Chiefs in any prime window. So for starters, it looks like there's a decent chance the Chiefs are in Brazil, because the Chiefs were in Germany 2 years ago. They're going to be there very soon. Think about the next couple of years. So if they're not in Brazil this year, there's a chance they're in Germany this year. If they're in Brazil this year, then does Germany become 2026? There's a report out of Spain I saw. This is from Sport. It's literally at Sport on Twitter, but it's a very popular 2 million follower news publication from Barcelona. And they reported that the Chiefs are interested in hosting a game in Spain in 2027. There was the news earlier this week that the Chiefs have added Spain as a marketing market. Moving forward, the team aims to host the inaugural NFL matchup in Barcelona in 2027, and they have the rights to Spain currently, and where they're looking at playing would be the home of FC Barcelona, which is currently under renovation. But of course, the upgrades will allow it to have an NFL game by 2027. So do we already know the next 3 years? Are they going to be in Brazil, then Germany, and then Spain over the next 3 years?
I think Ireland as well, because Ireland is going to be a place now that's really emphasized what the NFL is in football. Because think about this. Ireland had that Florida State-Georgia Tech game last year in Dublin. We've seen Navy play over there, you know, before in previous years. Kansas State will be playing
Iowa State, first game of the year, of
all teams in Dublin, Ireland this year. But the Chiefs are one of six clubs that got the international rights through the UK and Ireland as well. But they will be playing, and Baltimore Ravens as well have the marketing rights all across the UK. But I do expect the Chiefs to play in Ireland the next couple of years as well.
From the text line, sure, let's book Mars for 2037.
Yeah, I mean, look, the league is eventually getting to a point where everybody's playing an international game every year. We're going to get there. I don't know if it's in 5 years or 10 years, but we're going to get there. And we know Clark Hunt has been on the international committee for many, many years, been an advocate for playing games overseas. We know the Chiefs played in Germany against the Dolphins a couple years ago, and that was a fun, unique thing. And I think the expectation always was, okay, in another year or two, they're going to be back internationally. The thought was maybe in Germany, but it looks like, based on the reporting from The Athletic, that maybe this year they're going to be the road team in Brazil. We will all find out next month.
Not a home game.
Not a home game, which is big for season ticket holders. That's a big deal. That's a big, big deal. I mean, I'll be honest, if you, other than the financial commitment that's required, out of the possible countries, Spain would be the one I would love to go to in 2027. That, to me, would be really intriguing.
I think Ireland would be a lot of fun, to be honest
with you. Sure, but that one's there's not even a report that links the Chiefs to having a game there, other than they have marketing rights. I guess eventually they could.
Well, when you have marketing rights somewhere, you're going to be playing.
Sure, but I hear you.
They're one of six teams that
eventually
have it there. So
yeah.
If you look at six teams, that's 3 years worth of games.
Sure, it could just be after 2026. It could be 2028. But the next 3 years, it feels like, based on reporting, that it's Brazil, maybe Germany again, and then Spain. And I'm just saying, out of those three, I think Barcelona would be probably the trip I would take.
It's time to crank up the World League of American Football again. I mean, it's what we're getting to do. I brought it up many times before that with the extra game that teams are playing out, the 17-game schedule, we're going to 18 games. That's right. What we're going to get to real soon. And I know it's not popular, but it's play these games in the United States. One of these games might as well play at a college football stadium. Make it a stadium series like the NHL does, where they'll go play in Michigan at the Big House.
This has been your idea for years.
I keep seeing these Spain and Ireland stuff like this. Yeah, I'm like, let's put a damn game in Manhattan or Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or Columbus, Ohio. You can do it.
No, see,
it'd make a lot of money. Trust me.
There's more money in marketing dollars to be made in Spain, in the UK, in Germany, in Ireland, in Brazil, on and on and on.
But dude, there is playing fans to support the team.
Why are they going to play a Chiefs game in Norman, Oklahoma? Bank?
Because think about the group of fan base, because it's a regional deal. Because clearly, there's a ton of Chiefs fans in Oklahoma.
This is a college football fan in Bank.
That's all. But think about it. That's not happening.
But do it for the fans that pay the bills for the National Football League. Think about all the fans that could get together. They go spend a weekend in college town, invaded all the bars and everything within drivable distance.
You don't think they're doing that in Ireland if they play a game? You don't think Ireland's a great bar town?
That is not as feasible financially for people to do. Sure. Than get their car and go 3 hours
down the road. Then leave the game at Arrowhead. I don't think the college thing makes a ton of sense. Unless you're going to put
Chiefs fan would do that a lot more than go over to Spain.
I understand, but like, unless you're going to tell me they're going to play at the Big House where it holds 100,000 people, I don't get the point of going to a stadium. And I don't know how much. In fairness, I don't know what Norman holds, but let's say it's 65 or 70. Why would you put in Norman, Oklahoma? You want to put it? It's me.
A lot of college football stadiums are bigger than NFL stadiums.
A lot of them. I understand. And yes, Nebraska fans would love for the Chiefs to play in Lincoln. It makes zero sense for the Chiefs to go, what, 3 hours north up to I-29 or whatever it is.
It makes as much sense as going to Barcelona, Spain.
I disagree, man. I think there's way more...
It's
way
not more fans, of a, it's all the bandwagon fans in Europe and everything else throwing it on a Mahomes jersey and going to the game. I'm talking about the real fans that spend thousands of dollars to go watch their NFL team and buy the product, going in, invading a college town for a weekend, going to the bars and everything. A lot more financially feasible. That's why the NFL draft, it's a free event. That's why Detroit almost had over 800,000, 900,000 fans go to the draft last year because it was free.
They aren't having games in Germany and Brazil for the Chiefs fans they're having them for the fans that they want to grow in that country. The Chiefs aren't thinking that they're going to have this huge influx of Chiefs fans from Kansas City flying there and spending money. There are some that do. They're doing it because they want to grow their brand in Germany. That's the whole idea. Why the NFL is doing in Germany. Their brand growing in Norman, Oklahoma, I'll be honest, I keep using them as the example. Sorry, Norman. But like nobody cares about that.
No, that's a bigger thing than you think. No. It's like Kansas City has put a lot of effort in getting the St. Louis market. It's on KMOX radio now, the Chiefs games, because they wanted that market. And there's going to be a fight with them and Indianapolis and the Chicago Bears to get it. The St. Louis Blues are marketing Kansas City because they want Kansas City fans to like that hockey team. It's why three, and maybe you haven't seen it, maybe you have, but KSMO TV and Channel 5 have shown three Blues games this year. Not on FanDuel Network, but they're doing that in the Kansas City market to show St. Louis Blues games because they want people to know. Growing regionally with your sport in your NFL team is fine. People are buying jerseys. They're buying things. They're going to your games.
The NFL's beyond regional growth. They're international growth.
I just think it would
be
so much fun for Chiefs fans to be able to, hey, let's go to Norman, spend the weekend, go into all the bars, make it like a Super Bowl type event. The NHL does it. On New Year's Day, they play the Stadium Series, and it's a wild success what they do, whether they play a game at the Naval Academy or wherever.
Your idea could work, Bink.
Yes, it would work.
Is because if you look, well, I don't know, surely college stadiums aren't. Oklahoma Stadium is bigger than, seats 15,000 more than Arrowhead, I think.
So how many real football fans do you think are getting on a plane and flying to Barcelona?
That's not what the NFL's trying to do. The NFL's not worried about quote-unquote real fans going from Kansas City to Ireland. They want the kid.
I understand what they're doing, but I'm saying build the product here because this is where most of the money is. But that pays for the league.
That's not what, like, that's totally reverse of what the league is trying to do, though. I think your idea would have been great 25 years ago.
This is more beneficial for the actual fans that have put in a lot of hard-earned money for years.
Well, by that logic,
for
they
the
should
National
not,
Football League team.
I'm with you if your argument is that, like, they should take care of the fans here. Like, we're all in agreement there. If that's the case, none of the games should be streaming. They should not have games on Netflix or Peacock, and they should have every single game stateside. I'm with you on all that, but that's not where the
international
league's at,
games.
Man.
I think they're getting a little too crazy with so many international games, but they could do the international games. But what I'm saying is, teams could still do a stadium series game at least once a year with one team. They could do it. Like the NFL could do that for the brand.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty. Like Chiefs Kingdom is massive. We know this, right? Whether it's Iowa, Nebraska, on and on and on. These are how we used to talk about, quote unquote, Chiefs Kingdom.
That would be insane for those fans up there.
It would be great for the fans in Iowa City, Iowa. Correct.
Of course.
No, that's a reasonable drive for people to go watch the game instead of hopping on a plane and going to Dublin, Ireland.
Yeah.
So somebody phrased this very well. If anyone takes Bink, Bink is thinking football, not thinking business. That might be the way that you're thinking about it.
There's money to be spent regionally with these teams in the city and the NFL team. Why would the Chiefs care about being in St. Louis in the market?
I mean, sorry about Iowa City. I had a laugh at that
one.
You know,
the Chiefs have more season ticket holders in St. Louis than any other place besides Kansas City?
So you're saying they should go play in St. Louis?
So let's move to the Edward Jones Dome.
No, I'm just saying that money comes from other places. Chiefs have season ticket holders in every single state in the union.
Yeah, they have them from multiple countries now, too. I think most people probably agree with the utopian idea that you have, which is, hey, let's play everything just in the United States and like all this.
I'm not saying
your idea is great 30 years ago.
Add a game here.
Yeah, I think your idea is good 30 years ago. Overall, I like the concept.
But it works for the NHL. It works for Major League Baseball.
The NHL's not the NFL, though.
When Major League Baseball goes and plays, when they played a series at Fort Bragg, they played games at the Little League World Series. Those are fun. The Iowa cornfields, the Field of Dreams where baseball played, that was fun. I'm just saying, do something outside the box.
Yeah, I think it would be really interesting. There's one thing that I was thinking about yesterday, guys. So Felix, I think Cody alluded to it briefly. FAU was on with Kay Adams.
Yes.
And she asked him about, essentially, is he going to get more playing time? Is this a year where the Chiefs are expecting him to take a step up? And FAU basically said, yeah, they're expecting me to take a step up in terms of what I do production-wise on the field. And it got me thinking, because of the way that he may said those comments, if the Chiefs really are all in on Felix getting every single opportunity possible to prove it this year, essentially, I don't think they're going to take an edge rusher in the first three rounds because they want to give him every opportunity because they brought everybody back. They brought back Charles Amenihu. If they draft a guy in the first round again, Bink, then FAU's not playing.
No.
Then he's done.
You're wrong. They finished number two. They finished number two in sacks in the NFL two of the last 3 years. The last year wasn't one of them. You have to be able to get to the quarterback.
I understand.
And Andy Reid has been on record as saying, and keep in mind, when they say things, they don't say a lot, but when they do say things, they're usually true. He says you can't have enough edge rushers. You can't – drafting an edge rusher every year, they say, is smart. And they've said this. This has come out of their mouths. You can never have enough good edge rushers. I'm just reading the tea leaves. Like when Brett Veach said, I can get a 1,000-yard rusher and a seventh rounder undrafted, he can. When he said the second and third round is the hot zone, he got Nick Bolton in that trade from the Ravens. So there's a few things they do say I do believe. You can't have enough good edge rushers.
But I'm not saying they're not going to take a defensive lineman. I think they take defensive tackle before they take an edge rusher, given Charles Amenihu being back and what Felix is saying here. If the Chiefs really, if they really do think that he can be something, he has to get more playing time. If they draft Mike Green in the first round or James Pierce Jr., that guy is good enough to get PT over FAU right now. Why would they do that if they really think that FAU could develop into something?
So a couple of things. I think the thought at this point that they would avoid drafting someone because of FAU, I'll just fundamentally disagree that that's how they're thinking. I would be shocked. They can think that he's due for a big boost in production. Like, I would hope they think that. They drafted him first overall 2 years ago. I think that can be true. I don't believe they're not drafting somebody because of FAU, and I don't mean to take a shot at him, but I think that's just the reality of the situation right now with where he's at in his career. I think they will draft a defensive lineman with one of their first couple picks. I think it would be a big mistake if they don't.
D-tackle.
And it might be, Drew, yeah. Like, it might be a defensive tackle, but I do not think that would be because they love Felix, and so they say, well, we don't need to draft one. No. Charles Amenihu is also on a one-year deal, right? Didn't he sign a one-year deal? So they don't have long-term options there.
They were 19th in the NFL in sacks last year. They just get into the quarterback. You got to be able to do it, whether it's taken – and none of that. But if you go defensive lineman like a Derek Harmon or something that had the 39 pressures, has shown his ability from an interior defensive lineman, whether he's playing three technique or two eye, he can get to the quarterback. He's got pass rushing moves. If that's when they decided to get the pressure, you lose Turk Wharton in that production at edge rusher, but they've got to find a way to get to the quarterback quicker. And it helps your secondary out and helps so many other things. You can't have enough good edge rushers. So if a top edge rusher is sitting there at 31, I think they think long and hard about that. If a Derek Harmon's there, somebody like that, that's fine. Do it. But if not, edge rusher, it will be there.
Speaking of which,
you want to use this as the sound? You sure you don't want to make this the new? You don't want that to become the new draft sounder?
Should that become the new sounder?
No, please no.
Okay, so we're going to go to NFL Network, NFL.com, Maurice Jones-Drew.
Oh, my God. His are terrible.
MJD.
Seriously, he's, like, horrible.
I think, okay, so.
Where do you have Travis Hunter going, like, 10th or something?
Oh, boy. Here, let's hear it.
Gee, relax. No, I actually had him going a little bit lower. He had him going to the Jets. At seven.
Maurice Jones-Drew. Clown suit, man.
You don't like MJD?
I do like MJD, but his mock drafts suck.
I know, this is interesting. We've gotten to like, this something he did to you at some point in time.
Evidently so. So at 31, he tried to eat me. He does not have them trading out of the first round like some people do. He has them taking Jahdae Barron, cornerback out of Texas.
He's going to go way before that.
In the first round.
You just don't think it's realistic.
I like the player a lot.
So if he's there, you'd want him to take him.
Big, physical, could do a lot of different things. Jahdae Barron's a stud, but I think he's going a lot earlier than that. Most of the mocks have Jahdae going top 15, no later than 20. It'd be great in theory, but I don't think it's going to happen.
It is notable that Luther Burden is not
in the
going
first round?
In the first round. And Travion Henderson's going 10th overall.
He has Jackson Dart going 21.
I mean, that actually could happen to the Steelers. That makes sense.
Where do you have Jackson Dart in your mock?
I do think he will be picked in the first round, okay. but I think it'll be in the later.
Like 28.
The later, yeah.
Or 2017.
I do think he's first round talent. He's got the Bills taking Igbuka right before Jahdae Barron.
That's a new name, though, we haven't had on our...
Correct, that is a new
name
for us.
And it's because it sounds like you're saying that, because he's not a realistic name. But we say like guys aren't realistic at pick 31, and then all of a sudden, there's always, when we're sitting at the landing in a couple Thursdays, it's going to be pick 15, and we're going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this player is still on the board, and then he'll just keep sliding. Like, every year, there's a player or two that's there when you and Chris are talking, and he'll be on the board at 18, and you guys will say, I just don't get it. How has he not been taken?
No. Here's where Jahdae Barron, by the way. Pro Football Network had him going 23. NBC had him going 15. Obviously, NFL.com with MJD had 31. Pro Football Network had him going 23. Sports Illustrated had him going 11th. 33rd team had him going 16th. Pro Football Focus had him going 11th.
MJD's got, CBS he's got the scoop, man. 16th. He's got the scoop.
Babe. I would say MJD has him going further back than anybody else does.
Yeah. He might be onto something, Bink.
Or on something.
Oh, wow.
He had Thomas going a little bit earlier than as well, the corner from Florida State.
Who do they have in the top three then? Because we were talking about Sanders and Hunter earlier.
Top three is what everybody seemingly has right now. It's Cam Ward, Abdul Carter, Shedeur Sanders.
Okay. And Sanders to the Giants?
Yes. Okay. And then he has Will Campbell going to the Patriots.
Dude has Travis Hunter going seventh, man. Come on.
You don't think there's any way he falls to seven?
The Jets.
No.
You think what's the latest?
He won't pass five? The Patriots at four.
Yeah, four.
I mean, that's something.
He has Will Campbell taking.
He has Ted Amaroa McMillan going fifth. There's no way to go McMillan to Jags instead of Hunter in that situation.
He might combine well with Malik Nabers.
Yeah, if Hunter's on the board, the Jags taking McMillan over Hunter would seem a little weird.
The Jags should also take
Steve
Travis
Smith
Hunter.
Had some interesting things to say about Ted Amaroa McMillan.
Steve Smith's had an interesting offseason.
Are we going to talk about the Tush Push, or are we going to table the Tush Push?
We got a little distracted by our college stadium series discussion. That
I was going to say
that was not planned today.
It wasn't planned.
Was not planned.
But I do want to talk Tush Push.
Bink brings it up a lot. We have fun discussions about the stadium. It's not the first time I've heard Bink's proposal.
And I even brought that up. I've said this before.
I know.
It just fit.
We can get to the Tush Push stuff. Let's do that. Coming up next, let's get to what's trending and then why you think the Chiefs shouldn't want the Tush Push banned. I thought that was interesting. Plus, we'll talk more about a big record that could be set in sports in the next week.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.